Exodus 20, 8 through 11. Exodus 20, 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servants, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. You may be seated. Let's join our hearts together in prayer as we come to the preaching of God's word. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the blessing of the ministry of your word. And so help me to preach in demonstration of the spirit of power. May my brethren, my brothers and sisters in Christ, receive your word in truth and love it and desire it. And we just pray this time would be just helpful for us, convicting where it needs to be convicting, encouraging where it needs to be encouraging, strengthening where it needs to be strengthening, and that in all things you would receive glory and it would be good for us, that we might be more faithful to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. We saw last Sabbath day the truth of the day of the week in which the Sabbath is on. So I spent the whole sermon seeking to show us that from the creation of the world to the resurrection of Christ, they had their weekly Sabbath on the seventh day of the week, the seventh day of the week. But in the new covenant, our day is now on the first day of the week because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he brought in new creation and greater redemption. We saw that the Sabbath was based on two realities of the Old Testament, creation and redemption, the redemption from Egypt and the original creation in 6 days. And then the new covenant Sabbath is based, yes, looking back to those things, but with greater realities based on a new creation that Christ has brought in, because if anyone's in Christ, he is new creation, and the reality of a greater redemption that Christ rested from his work on the first day of the week. We saw that all the Gospels tell us that he rose again on the first day of the week, that he was seen by his disciples on that day. Pentecost was on the first day of the week. The disciples gathered on the first day of the week. The church was commanded to bring their tithes and offerings, or particularly their special gift at that point, on the first day of the week. And then that day is then codified in the book of the Revelation as the Lord's Day, the day that belongs to the Lord. And so that's why we gather no longer on the seventh day, but on the first day. We still keep the Sabbath day holy, but God in his wisdom, because of the sufferings and glories of Jesus Christ, has changed the day to now the first day of the week, which the day we call the Lord's Day, or is also sometimes referred to as the Christian Sabbath. This afternoon, though, I want to focus on Sabbath preparation. Sabbath preparation. And so the main point of this sermon is the Sabbath is a day to be prepared for by 6 days of faithful work and purposeful preparation. The Sabbath is a day to be prepared for by 6 days of faithful work and purposeful preparation. My first point, 6 days of faithful work. 6 days of faithful work. My second point, purposeful preparation. Purposeful preparation. So again, my first point, 6 days of faithful work. We see in the fourth commandment, not only is the command given to give God a day of holy rest, a Sabbath, but it's also commanded that we have 6 days in which we can labor and do all our work. God in his mercy has given us 6 days of the week where we can give ourselves to our earthly callings, whether in the workforce, as homemakers, whatever we're doing, as students, whatever that might be. He's given us 6 days for our own personal work, our recreations, all these different things he's given us. He could have gave us 1 day for our stuff and 6 days for him. He could have. He's God. But he chose in his wise, sovereign plan to give us 6 days for our own callings under his lordship and 1 day of holy rest. And so this commandment literally says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. God has given us 6 days for what we could say our stuff under his lordship. He's given us 6 days where we can give ourselves to our lawful callings and our recreations, our lawful recreations. He's given us 6 days to interact in buying and selling and making a profit and being involved in other businesses. He's given us 6 days for that. He's given us 6 whole days where we are free under his lordship to do as we please in that sense. Those days, yes, they ultimately belong to God, but there's days that he has given to us that we can use them to work and to have recreations and to give ourselves to our calling. He's given us 6 days. He's given us 6 days out of the week. And so it's important that we remember that this command does not merely command a day of weekly worship, but also 6 days of lawful work and recreation. We sometimes forget that. We sometimes go so quickly to the holy day of rest, and we forget that this command is about work as well, which is also creation ordinance. That God appointed in the garden that Adam would work the garden, and that he would also have a weekly day of rest, of holy rest. And so sometimes people will say, because I've said and I believe it, that all the commandments, all 10 commandments, are a summary of all the moral commandments in the entire Bible. And that commandment that we read in Ephesians chapter 5, redeeming the time because the days are evil, that's an application of the 4th commandments. That we are redeeming the time that God has given us. 6 days for our lawful callings and 1 day of holy rest. And so we are to give ourselves by God's grace to these 6 days of labor. Whether that's, again, in the home as a homemaker, whether it's out as a student, whether that's working in the workforce, whatever that might be, God's given us these 6 days. And this is where faith comes in. Do we trust that God giving us 6, he will bless us as if we had 7? Do we trust that we say, God, I'm going to do things 6 days, but not on your holy day? I remember in college, especially when I was coming to more solidify my conviction of this, I remember, okay, I said, I have 6 days to do my schoolwork. 6 days to do my, because that was my job at that point, we could say. I have 6 days, and I'm going to trust that working on my schoolwork for 6 days, God's going to bless that. And not worrying about my schoolwork on the Sabbath, but I have 6 days to do it. And I believe God blessed that, because I have 6 days to do all my labor and to do all my work. And we should be giving ourselves rigorously and vigorously to what God has called us to in those 6 days. In those 6 days. I also try as a general pattern, I might not always do it this way because I do believe that preaching on the Lord's Day is the purpose of the day. This is work that's purposeful for this day. But even I try to make sure my sermons are done in 6 days. I think about that consciously. I have 6 days to prepare so that this day I can rest and worship as I preach. Because my work was done, I tried to in those 6 days so that today I can just enjoy the day and preach what I've prepared for those 6 days. We have 6 days to work and do all of our labor that God has given us. And what a blessing he's given us 6. Again, like I said, he could have gave us 1 and 6 for him. But he gave us 6 where we have the freedom to give ourselves to our lawful recreations, our lawful callings, and 1 day of holy rest. And I think one way to value this day of holy rest is that we use those 6 days well, so that we're so looking forward to the day where we can set aside those things and enjoy holy rest. And so I want to turn your attention to our confession of faith. This is in chapter 22, which is the section on religious worship and the Sabbath day. I'm going to read paragraph 7 to start, because that gets us into the reality of these things, the day of worship, and then I'll go into my second point of my sermon. Paragraph 7 says, quote, "As it is the law of nature, that in general a proportion of time, by God's appointment, be set apart for the worship of God, so by his word, in a positive, moral, and perpetual commandment, binding all men in all ages, he has particularly appointed one day in 7 for a Sabbath to be kept holy unto him, which from the beginning of the world to the resurrection of Christ was the last day of the week. And from the resurrection of Christ was changed into the first day of the week, which is called the Lord's Day, and is to be continued to the end of the world as the Christian Sabbath, the observation of the last day of the week being abolished," end quotes. That was based on my whole sermon last week. The reality of the day of worship, the day of holy rest, has changed. Now, paragraph 8, quote, "The Sabbath is then kept holy unto the Lord, when men, after a due preparing of their hearts and ordering their common affairs aforehand, do not only observe and holy rest all day from their own works, words, and thoughts about their worldly employments and recreations, but also are taken up in the whole time in the public and private exercises of his worship and in the duties of necessity and mercy," end quotes. Today, I want to really focus on that first part, and now my second point, purposeful preparation, where they say the Sabbath is then kept holy unto the Lord when men, after a due preparing of their hearts and ordering their common affairs aforehand or beforehand. And so now we want to talk about purposeful preparation. Purposeful preparation. To enjoy anything that we value, ordinarily we have to prepare. If you're going to go on a family vacation, you're going to go away for, let's say, a three-week vacation. To really enjoy that time away and for it really to be restful and to really make the most out of that family vacation, what do you have to do? You have to prepare. You don't just wake up and say, okay, let's go on this three-week vacation, and we just wake up and go. There has to be purposeful preparation. Otherwise, you're not going to really enjoy the vacation because you're going to be so consumed with what you didn't do to prepare for it. Anything that we value, we must prepare for to really value it. And it's no different than the weekly Sabbath. And beloved, as Christians who love God supremely, what is more important, preparing for a family vacation or the weekly Sabbath? What is more important to prepare for, a family vacation for our own things or God's holy day that he's given us weekly? If we would prepare for this but not for this, what are we saying about our love to God? And so this is a day that we must prepare for. To really suck, to use the metaphor of sucking out juice, to really suck all the juice out of this day, we must prepare for it. We must get ready for it. It's not something that we just kind of bounce up and we're good to go for the day. It's something that we have to be purposely preparing for. And so I want to focus on two things that our confession highlights about preparing. They highlight preparing our hearts for the Sabbath and preparing our common affairs. Our hearts and our common affairs. And so we must, by God's grace, seek to prepare our hearts for this day. We must be spiritually ready for this day by reading God's word, by meditating on it, by time in prayer, by those type of things, preparing for the day, reading the text that you know that's going to be preached. All these things are preparing our hearts, preparing us to get the most out of the day. We need our hearts to be ready so that we can really enjoy the spiritual blessing that this day provides. If our heart is distant from God or cold or not tender to God's truth, then we're not going to really experience the blessing that we can get from the means of grace. We don't believe that blessing comes to Christians by osmosis. We have to prepare. We have to work at it to receive blessing from God in that sense. It doesn't just happen. And so we have to prepare our hearts by throughout the week, But particularly as the days that lead up, getting our hearts in the right place, confessing sin. If we have relationships that are not how they should be, confessing our sin, making things right, reconciling as much as it depends on us. Our hearts should be ready and desirous to make the most of this day. Maybe some of you experienced when there have been times where you know, for whatever reason, maybe sin or just apathy, that you're cold and you come in and you don't get what you desire to get out of the Lord's Day like you could. But when you come in, maybe you read it, you're reading a good book, or you listen to something that really encouraged you the night before, or you were memorizing or meditating on the text. You come in and say, I'm so excited to hear. Because why? Because your heart was prepared. You had thought about that text, or maybe you studied the text yourself to be prepared, and then you came into God's appointed day. And one of these times, this is going to fall, but we'll be okay for now. Is you're so excited for God's appointed day that you are so looking forward to it because your heart is prepared. Because your heart is prepared. Because you're not consumed with everything else, but you are saturating yourself in God's truth that you so want to come into that. You're so looking forward to it. Why? Because your heart is being prepped. Your heart is being prepped. And that's how we have to look at the Lord's Day, the Sabbath. We must prepare our hearts. One thing that really helped me last night, I listened to a Tom Askell and the other man who pastors with him, a video. Actually, they had a video on church discipline. I knew I would be preaching on that in the morning. Listen to that. And that was just really encouraging. Listen to that and was really edified by it. And just thinking about ways to fill our minds with truth during the week, especially leading up on Saturday, the day before the Sabbath, so that our hearts are ready to get the most out of this day. Just like common things like family vacation, we get the most out of it by preparing our hearts to be ready to go. And we know that's not even the same as the Sabbath, but there's a connection. How much more when we come to spiritually worship God must we prepare our hearts so that they are ready? Because, beloved, the Isaiah 58, which I'll reference later as well, tells us at the beginning to call the Sabbath a delight. That's something that you do internally, first and foremost. Call the Sabbath a delight. And the only way that I can truly delight in the Sabbath and you can is if we are preparing our hearts so that we genuinely can, and not with two out of two sides of our mouth saying, yes, it's a delight, but really it isn't. And that happens by preparation. And again, like I said before, there have been times, I'm sure for you, that the Sabbath has been such a blessing because you've been preparing for it. Maybe even not super purposely, but just because how that week went and what you're reading and what you're listening and how you're doing things, you're just so ready for it. And I hope some of you now that have been doing that for months now, has been at Trying Grace, you can't even think about going back to how you used to do it. Hopefully you look at it and say, I so am thankful for this day. I can't imagine going back to what I used to do, where I just kind of checked the box and kind of did my own thing. As you realize, as you prepared your heart and you're genuinely calling the Sabbath a delight. And so we must prepare our hearts. Again, through reading God's word, meditating on it, listening to sermons, whatever that might be, so that our hearts might be prepared for God's day. Again, one thing connected with reading God's word, one of the best ways for you to prepare for God's holy day is by, and I send the text out. If you don't have it for some reason, you can text me. I can give you the text of what I'm preaching. That's the nice thing about expository preaching. You're just the next text. And so if you need the text, I can send it to you. A great way to prepare your heart is reading the text, reading it maybe over and over again, maybe looking at a commentary or two about it. Maybe in your personal worship time, one of the days, look at the text for that week so that you're ready, so that you're thinking about it. And you're, I wonder what he's going to say. I see this. What is he going to say about that text? And then your heart is ready, more ready to receive it because you've already been thinking about it. It's not completely cold. And it makes you more excited to hear about that text because you're thinking about it during the week. You might be reading stuff on it. You might even listen to another sermon during the week about it just to get to think about that text. And the wonderful thing about sermon audio, if you go to sermon audio, you can search scripture, you can put up the scripture, and they will have sermons that will come up from other pastors who will preach that text. Obviously, you don't have to do that, but that's also another option as well. so that your heart is prepared for the Sabbath day. And so our hearts must be prepared, must be ready, and they are ready by the meditating on, the reading of, the hearing of God's word, and also praying. Also praying. Do you pray for me that I would preach before the Sabbath? Do you pray for your family? Do you pray for yourself that you would get the most out of the day, that your hearts would be ready? Are you praying to God that God would bless his appointed day? Prayer is a key thing to prepare your hearts so that you as an individual are making the most out of the day, not only filling your mind with truth, but praying to the God of truth that this day would be a blessing and an enjoyment and would be a great privilege as you enjoy this day. I keep saying over and over again, enjoy, delight, because this is what we get to do. That's the privilege of it. It's what we get to do. It's we get to be fed the means of grace. We get to worship God. We get to be with God's people. We get to enjoy the Lord's Supper. We get to do these things. It's not what I have to give up first and foremost. It's what I get. And so I want to prepare my hearts through reading God's word in prayer because I know it's what I get out of the day. It's the privilege of the day. It's the blessing of the day. And so we must prepare our hearts through filling our minds with truth and praying that God would bless it. Do you believe that if you pray, Father, will you please bless this Sabbath day, that he will not hear you and listen and answer that request? God wants you to have the best Sabbath possible. And if you seek him and prepare your hearts, he will give you that joy that you can experience on this day. And so he wants us to come to him and to bless our weekly Sabbath so that we might enjoy it and we might love it and we might look forward to it week after week after week. And that can only come by preparing our hearts through the Word of God and by prayer, through the Word of God and prayer, so that we might suck all the sweet juice out of this day. So that we might suck all the sweet juice out of this day. But second, under purposeful preparation, not only are we to prepare our hearts through the Word of God and prayer, but we must also get our common affairs in order too. We also must get our common affairs in order. Just like a family vacation, there's things that you have to get in order so that you can really enjoy going away on family vacation. And so you have to prepare your common affairs. And so we have to be prepared and getting those things in order so that we can enjoy the day. Because we do not want to give ourselves to unnecessary work on the Sabbath or participating in unnecessary work of others. We must prepare for the Sabbath. If we just came here in the morning and then did our own thing, we wouldn't have to order our common affairs. What the confession said would make no sense if we just kind of came here, left, and did our own thing. But because the confession and following the Word of God knows that we are to give the whole day to God, there has to be preparation. There has to be preparation. And so some things just practically as we prepare, as we think, because we're seeking to set aside our own work and participating in other people working, we should think of things like, and some of these things are not directly connected with work, but just some things to prepare. Putting your clothes out on Saturday so you're not in a scram on the Lord's Day. Super practical. So that you're not realizing, oh, I don't have anything that's ready to go. And so putting the clothes out, knowing what you're going to wear. I do this for other days too, but on Saturday, I have my stuff out that I know I want to wear. I had my tie already tied. I actually tied it yesterday. Nice thing with a necktie, you can loosen it. You can't do that with a bow tie. So you have that ready and just prepared so that I know what I want to wear. I know what I have. And so I don't have to be in a scramble, being all flustered in the morning. Like, what am I going to wear? What do I have? We should also seek to make sure any work that's done that's unnecessary should be done around the house the day before so that we don't have to worry about the dishes or the laundry or any of these things that could distract us from getting the most out of the day. So these things are taken care of so that we don't have to worry about these things having to be done. We should make sure our vehicles have gas so that we don't have to stop and participate in gas and getting that. We should make sure we have enough food in our house so we don't have to go anywhere out to eat and cause other people to violate the Sabbath as they are working on that day. Last week when I was driving home, confession time, but not really, I was driving home and I was very hungry. And I don't have great stuff at my house. As a bachelor, you don't have great stuff at your house. And I'm going home and I'm thinking, man, it'd be so nice to stop somewhere. But because in my heart, I'm convicted that I should not cause people to work on the Sabbath and not enter into their work, I resisted that temptation and kept driving. And I made it work. I didn't die. I'm still here. So I had food to survive. But we have to be convicted in our heart to say, I want to make sure that I am prepared so that I can refrain from my own personal work and entering in other people's work. Some people are surprised when I make that application. Maybe not surprised, but, well, I know I'm not to work, but you're making the application I shouldn't cause other people to work. Well, let me use it for another commandment. What about adultery? Someone might say, well, I'm not committing adultery, but you're driving them to the house to commit adultery. So you're involved in their sin, even though you're not doing it. Or they stole a TV and they say, this TV was stolen. I'll sell it to you real cheap. Well, you don't want to buy that because then you'll be entering in their sin, even though you didn't steal it. And it's the same with the fourth commandments. We don't want to enter into other people violating the Sabbath. They have 6 days to do that work. We have 6 days to do that work. 6 days a week, we can enjoy all those things. But on this day, we should seek to set those things aside. And think about it, beloved. What if all the Christians in America said, on the Sabbath day, we're not going to use any things that are unnecessary out and about? Places might actually close down and say, well, it's not worth being open. It's not worth being open. And so we need to prepare. We need to be ready. We need to get our stuff in order so that we have what we need for the Sabbath day, as it involves our clothing and our gas for our vehicles and food to have those things together and all those different things, so that we are prepared for this day. So that we are prepared for this day. And beloved, let me say it again. Making all these things, because it can sound like, wow, that's a lot of things you gotta get ready for. But it's not what I have to give up and say no to. I'm doing all these things because I so want to enjoy the Sabbath. That's the reason. It's not a legalistic mentality of I have to do this and that. It's I don't want those things to distract me. I don't want to have to worry about those things. And therefore, I want to make sure I'm ready so that I can enjoy this day to its full. So I don't have to worry about any of these things. That I don't have to worry as a teacher about anything. I purposely try not to think about school until Monday morning. I'm not thinking about it. It's not in my mind. I'm a school teacher. We're about to have school. I'm not thinking about that because this is the Sabbath. I don't want to think about that. I want to have this day so I can get those things done in 6 days so they don't distract me on the Sabbath. So they're not a distraction. So I can really get the most out of this day. And let me go back to the family vacation illustration. I'm doing all this prep work because I know the joy of family vacation is why I'm doing it. And to use the example for the Sabbath, I'm doing all this prep, working these 6 days so my stuff is in order, so I have things prepared, so that I might suck all the juice out of this day, the sweet juice of God's holy day. And so we must prepare. We must prepare for this day. We must make preparations. There might be other things that you think in your life that you need to prepare for. These are just categories of things, food and clothing and gas, as things we need to prepare for as we seek to make this day as sweet as possible. Also, as well, we should seek to, by God's grace, get the proper rest on Saturday. So that we're not nodding off. And sometimes people work. I understand people work and people get tired even if they do get rest. So I'm not trying to condemn people who get tired on the Sabbath. But I am saying there's one thing of being tired because you worked a long week and you were trying to prepare and saying, I don't care and I'm just going to do my own thing on Saturday. Those are two different things. We should prepare, even physically, because we want to enjoy the day. And if we don't have the energy that we need, we can't enjoy the day like we ought. We can't enjoy the day like we ought. And all these things are not so that we feel bad about ourselves. It's so that we might enjoy the day to the max. Enjoy the day to the max. And so we must think what we need to do so that we're not distracted by our own working or causing unnecessary work to others. There is necessary work that must be done on the Sabbath. We see Jesus talk about this, like hospitals. People might break their leg on the Lord's Day, or law enforcement, those type of things. But there's also unnecessary work that is not needed, is not necessary on this day. We must prepare to make this day the most blessed day of the week. The most blessed day of the week. Let me turn you to Isaiah 58. I quoted some of this text earlier, but let me turn you there now. Isaiah 58, starting at 13, or reading 13 and 14. Isaiah 58, 13 and 14. We must prepare for the Sabbath to really enjoy what these verses say. Isaiah 58, 13 and 14. It says, "If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken." So let me focus particularly in verse 14. When we prepare for the day so that we can call the Sabbath a delight, God says when we do that, if then, it's an if then, verse 13 says if, verse 14 says then, it's an if then, it says then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. What Christian says, yeah, I don't want to be happy in God. I don't want to grow in being happy in God. I want to grow in being satisfied and content in God. No Christian says that. And God says if you call the Sabbath a delight, then you'll find greater delight in the Lord your God. You'll find greater delight. What Christian says, no, I don't want that? Every Christian says, yes, I want to be more happy in God. And God says, if you call the Sabbath a delight, then you'll find delight in me. Second, he says, I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth. This is a metaphor and a picture of victory over sin. What Christian doesn't want victory over sin? What Christian doesn't want to ride on the high hills of the earth as they are able by God's grace to put off sin and put on righteousness? And God says, if you call the Sabbath a delight, I will enable you more and more as a means of grace to die to sin, to overcome sin, to find victory over sin. What Christian doesn't want that? And then he says, thirdly, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. That's enjoying the promises of God in a sweet way. Enjoying the heritage that we have as Abraham's seed according to faith of the blessing of the promises of God. I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty good to me, those three blessings. I want to delight in God more. I want to have more victory over my sin. And I want to experience God's promises more sweetly. And God says, if then. And how can we call the Sabbath a delight and not do our own ways or find our own pleasure or speak our own words? First and foremost, by preparing for the day. So all this is because I love you. And I want you to experience the blessing of the day. I've been so thankful over these past several years that God has allowed me to enjoy the Sabbath immensely. And I want the same for you. And I know some of you have experienced that as well. And the way you do that is by preparing for it, so that you might enjoy this day, that you might get the most out of it, that it might be a blessing to you. And it comes by preparation, preparing your hearts first and foremost, and by preparing your common affairs so that you are not distracted by those things and can truly give yourself to rest in God. Let me say this as well. Some people hear the word rest, and our culture has a certain connotation of rest. And sometimes people think, well, because I'm here for a while, you might think, well, sometimes I'm actually kind of worn down when I get home. But that's why I keep saying holy rest. The Pharisees thought the Sabbath was a day of inactivity, where you just kind of lay back and do nothing. Jesus said, no. That's not what the Sabbath is about. It's about holy rest. It's about the worship of God and the fellowship with God's people. So don't feel like you did anything wrong if you go home and you're really tired. That might mean you spent the Sabbath well. Because it wasn't a day of inactivity, it was a day of holy rest, where you were very active, but you're active in spiritual things. And so God, it's a day that we might set aside for holy rest. Because we are to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. What did it mean to make something holy in the Old Testament? It was to set it aside for worship. The holy water, the holy temple, the holy priesthood, those things were set aside for worship. And this day is to be a day full of worship and a day where we might go home. I know I go home times very worn down. But I don't think that as like, my Sabbath wasn't restful. I said my Sabbath was fantastic because I was with God's people all day. I was enjoying it. It's a satisfied tiredness. My day was full. And so I'm so thankful that I go home tired because I know my day was full of God's worship and fellowship with God's people. And beloved, we have to remember that what is our weekly Sabbath but a foretaste to the eternal Sabbath? It's a foretaste. What we experience on this day is a foretaste of what we experience in the new heavens and new earth. And so we must prepare for these days so that we're preparing for that day when we enter into the eternal Sabbath. And so some application to close. It's been somewhat application throughout, but if you're without Christ, if you're without the salvation that is found in Him, you can never truly enjoy this day. If your heart is without Christ, you can go through the motions, you can obey, you can do what you're told, but you'll never enjoy the day because your heart has not been changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we first must in our heart to love Christ before we'll ever love His day. And we must come to repent and put our trust in Christ to truly love His day. And then for God's people, for the saints, we are to be given to our 6 days of our callings and responsibilities. What a blessing that God has, for His glory and for our good, given us 6 days for our things, for our responsibilities, for our callings, for our recreations, for what we want to do. And He's appointed one day for holy rest. And so we should be giving ourselves to using those 6 days well under His lordship. And then we are to prepare. You're to prepare. I'm to prepare to make sure our hearts are spiritually prepared for this blessed day through prayer and meditating on God's word. We must be a people of prayer and meditation and God's word so that this day our hearts are ready for it. And then I must prepare our common affairs so that we are not distracted on God's holy day. We must set those things aside so they're not a distraction, so they're not an unnecessary temptation. And if they do become a temptation, we resist them because we do not want to give ourselves to things that are not good for us on God's holy day. And so the way that you and me can get the most out of this day, because I want you to get the most out of this day, is by preparing for it. Is by preparing for it in your heart and with your common affairs. So this day is as blessed as possible because you're seeking by God's grace to make the most of it by preparation beforehand. So in the day, you're not worried about those other things. Amen. Our Father, we do thank You for Your word, and we pray that the weekly Holy Sabbath would be a blessing to us and we would get the most out of it. In Jesus' name, amen.